T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
In Overnight America is live with you for the next couple of hours. We had an interview with Brad Young. If you missed it, you can go back with the radio.com rewind link. I've been working on some things behind the scenes here. I'm working very hard to get this Jim White special complete. If you missed it in the first hour, I mentioned that Wednesday night I'm going to debut my Jim White special. I'm going to do it. So I've been working on that, and I didn't get a chance to post a link, but if you have the radio.com app, you can always rewind back to about 11:35-ish, and you can get Brad Young. And he talks not only about the Supreme Court ruling from today in Louisiana, but also the thing that happened in the Central West End, which we're going to talk about some this hour. And I'd like to take some of your calls on it. And at this point, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? What happened in the Central West End? Oh, you already know. Not only was it a local big story, it was also a regional, in a state, in a country, in an international story. They're talking about this in other countries of what happened in the Central West End. And part of which is, I could give you a quick recap, but I think you already know. It was protesters to Mayor Crewson broke into the gated community, went down the private road, and then some homeowners along the path nervously went out and was making it very clear they were ready to defend their home. Now they're brandishing firearms and such, and there's a lot of different ways you can take this. Let's take some of your calls. What were your impressions? What were your first impressions now that you've had some time to think about it? Let's go to Daryl, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Ryan, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. First things first, you said you'd be surprised if there were charges filed against those two.
Right.
You know what? Kindergartner's got it so backwards, I wouldn't be surprised a bit if she showed up at a funeral and cited the court for not wearing a mask.
Oh,
so
boy.
Nothing would surprise me where she's concerned.
Okay. Very true.
The second, in terms of the guy that was out there, I mean, I just have to comment, dude, I see that you're carrying an AR-15, but you're only going to look so tough in a pink polo. at least put on a wife beater, you know, do something.
Well, that's the thing. The way he's dressed, he's definitely not ready or prepared, but because he's not wearing shoes. Let's make that clear. But, you know, Schwarzenegger or none of the action stars ever wear a pink polo when they go out into the big scenes.
No. Stallone missed that in the Expendables movie. Anyway. But to the serious point, CBS, CNN, Washington Post, headlines pretty much identical, saying, and I'm using their language, that this couple aimed their weapons at the protesters, demonstrators, people, whatever you want to call them. We don't know what they were. We can guess, but we don't really know what they were. But the one thing we know is that at no point in any video you've seen, I've seen, they've seen, at no point did those two people ever take aim at those protesters. That is an outright lie. That never, ever happened.
I think the word aim is interesting. And I don't know if the news stories are using the term aim. And I was trying to be careful when talking to Brad Young about it, because when I look at the videos, it's towards them. It doesn't look like there was any specific person they were aiming at.
No, there was she was waving her gun around, you know, haphazardly. She was a moron about it. You could tell, though, he was trained. He kept his gun pointed to the side. Now, when he turned his body, the gun might have been pointed to the crowd, but at no point did he shoulder his rifle and point it at anyone. At no point did he put two hands on the gun and point it at someone.
Here's the thing about him. When he's holding the AR-15, now, normally you would keep the barrel pointed down at the ground, and that is for safety's sake. He did bring it up a couple of times, and it was pointed in the direction of his wife standing next to him at some point. So you see those sort of things, and you think, you really cringe. As a responsible gun owner, you look at that, and it makes you really nervous.
Understood. They may have been clumsy about it, but still, you're never going to convince anybody that watched that video that either one of them took aim at the passersby. That didn't happen. That's not true.
Yeah, I agree with that. It didn't look like there was any specific target they were pointing at. So, Daryl, thank you for your call. Good to hear from you tonight. Let's go to Don, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm glad you take the sides of the McCloskeys, but I disagree with you saying that he shouldn't have his wife out there. The idea was to discourage them with a show of force, and it worked. Her wife's appearance along with his may have saved their life. They showed them they meant business, okay? And it was probably her decision to go out there, and it worked.
Yeah,
they discouraged them. And also,
I'm saying I wouldn't have done it that way, though. There's a lot of things I would have done differently. But if it's a moment where you feel like you're in danger, I'm trying to hide my wife. I'm trying to keep her out of that.
She probably, as a show of force, she probably insisted on going out there. And by the way, the neighborhood had advance notice that this was going to happen. You mean to tell me that the police didn't know it was going to happen? I can't believe that. Who discouraged the police from going there? Somebody did. And let me tell you something about Kim Gardner. She let the protesters go that caused rioting a couple weeks ago that caused physical damage to property. She let them go. She is a racist with a capital R. A racist. A flaming racist. They come all right, in all colors,
okay.
Mister.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, thank you, Don, for your call. And I wanted to read a statement from Kim Gardner's office, and it's so absurd. And I want to point out something that Don mentioned, and I think it's worth pointing out. How many different crimes that we've seen happen in the city of St. Louis that have led up into this moment? We've seen burning buildings, looting. We've seen protesters throw and hurt and shoot police. We've seen them also throw and shoot at firefighters, ambulances. We've seen the issues where there is vandalism, tearing, you know, spray painting, also painting, threatening to tear down, showing forms of violence, brandishing guns themselves, carjackings, things like that. We know that a lot of these things have happened over the last couple of weeks. And every time the police have been able to put and arrest someone for those, how many of those actually ended up facing charges from the prosecutor? Very little, if any. I think of the many that were, three I can think of, at least on the initial one. And then again, rest were, we might bring up charges later. Yeah, right, like you're planning on doing that. So to draw the line and say that someone was fearing for not only their safety, but the people around them and their family's safety because they saw this coming to their doorstep, you're going to draw the line and say, no, they were the wrong ones? Give me a break. There's no reason that press release should have came out today. It shows that she's showing favorites. And the whole idea of we got to show sympathy for the ones that are out there causing destruction because we don't understand what they're going through right now, to try to justify the actions of those that are trying to cause destruction, loot, and do all of these other things. We have to understand them. But then you can't understand why someone would fear when it comes to their own home, in front of their home. You can't understand and sympathize with them. Give me a break. There's no reason you should be drawing a line with them and trying to tough talk them when all of the other things you've excused. Seriously, this is such a terrible take from Kim Gardner's office. And I'll read that press release maybe in a little bit. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So yesterday, the names of the two, the couple, were released online. They weren't really reported, so I didn't really talk about it much. But now they're out there in public. They're actually talking about it. Their lawyer, Al Watkins, has spoke on their behalf, but also Mark McCloskey. I have some clips and comments from him. I think this is from KMOV. We'll play those coming up in some more of your calls on Overnight America KMOX.
Listening to
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
You know, probably the easiest way to listen to KMOX is back in the day when there weren't as much interference, there wasn't as much interference. If you were close enough to the KMOX transmitter site, you could open up your oven door and hear KMOX. That's how powerful the signal was then. If you had a filling and you opened your mouth, your friends could stick an ear next to that tooth and be able to catch a little bit of Jim White's program. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'm going to play a statement of what happened from Mark McCloskey coming up in a moment after our call from Larry, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Good morning.
Hello. Go ahead, Larry.
John Goodman here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Larry, dude, seriously, are you John Goodman?
I'm John Goodman. We have We have a virus here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a virus of our elected officials and some that are in office that shouldn't be elected. Did Kim Gardner actually pass the bar?
You know, it's a good question because I did look it up. You can actually go to pretty much any state, but you can check out the Bar Association, and you can type in the name and what city they practice, and it'll tell you if they're in good standing. So I decided to look up Kimberly M. Gardner on the Missouri Bar website, and it says, yes, she's in good standing and active. So I just decided to look just in case.
Right. So the virus is we're standing down against criminals. The police are told to stand down. Mm-hmm. They were trespassing. Secondly, they were trespassing. There's a sign right there on the streets that you cannot. The pastor said the gate was open. No, the gate was not open. They busted it.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, these people have the castle law on their side. What kind of a castle law do the criminals have when they burn the Quick Trip down or whatever that is, 7-Eleven downtown? They tried to build some historic building. Where's the castle law come into that kind of? What is wrong with these officials that they can't stand up against criminals? I'll tell you what. I lived in Ferguson when it went on. I watched them ignite from my back porch. I was 3 blocks away from West Florissant. My wife died. I got out of there. I moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana for 1 year. I came back. I moved to Florissant. Guess what? It's the same thing going on in Florissant night after night. They're out in the street. By the way, let me ask you this question. What gives them the right to block off streets night after night, and the police force condones it? I do not get it.
Well, yeah, not only that, but interstates. They'll go and block an interstate for a couple of hours, which is extremely frustrating. But let's go back to this, too. Now, it's not like the protest was going down to the Florissant Police Department and we're protesting in front of the police department. This isn't a residential area in front of where people live. It's so easy to understand when it's away from you and you look at it and you shake your head and say, oh, what a shame. Looks like they're doing that again somewhere else. And then when it's at your doorstep, that's a whole different feeling. And you can totally relate and understand what the couple was going through.
The verbiage isn't accurate, though. I like your – it's not what a shame. Mm-hmm. But what a shame doesn't even apply. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. They trespassed on these people's property. The charges should be brought up against the trespassers, not the people that defended their property. It's more than what a shame. It is a outrage.
Yeah.
It
and by the way,
outrage that elected officials can't do their jobs. How do we get rid of Kim Gardner? And the county prosecutor in the county here isn't any better. He doesn't defend the law any better than Kim Gardner.
Let me point out real quick. You lived in Fort Wayne the same time I lived in Fort Wayne, Indiana. What years were you there?
I was born there. I lived there till I was 11. And then when my wife died, I lived there the year of 17. I lived in Canterbury Green Apartments. Right on the seventh hole of the golf course.
Well, I guess I was already here in St. Louis by 17. This is when I was transitioning to St.
Louis. I keep trying to think of this restaurant. It's on the corner of St. Joe Center and St. Joe. Best restaurant for breakfast I've ever been to in my life. Do you know? Cosmos? Does that sound right?
I don't remember.
Man, they had the best steak, and they had like an inch and a half New York strip with eggs and the potatoes. Oh my gosh, I'm making myself hungry. John Goodman's getting hungry.
Thanks, Larry. Have a great night. John Goodman. Doesn't he sound like John Goodman? Oh, he sounds just like him. And he says he gets that all the time. When he called in the other night, someone mentioned that to him. I think John Goodman called into your show. So I had to go back and listen to it. And as soon as someone told me that, and the connection was there in my mind, all I think of is John Goodman's face when Larry is talking. Isn't that something? Someone said in the text messaging, please tell fake John Goodman I love O'Leary's. I don't know what that means either, but I wanted to play this clip for you because now it's starting to come out. And then the homeowners that lived at that location in the Central West End have been speaking out. Mark McCloskey and his 61-year-old wife, represented by attorney Al Watkins, here's the thing. They were interviewed. I think this is from KMOV. I grabbed this audio from the Reardon folder, but describing what happened during that Sunday incident.
We came back to the house. I don't know what time it is. I've been up ever since, so I'm a little blurry. We were preparing dinner. We went out to the East Patio, open porch that faces Kings Highway on one side and Portland Place Drive on the south. And we're sitting down for dinner. We heard all this stuff going on down in Maryland Plaza. And then the mob started to move up Kings Highway. When it got parallel with the Kings Highway gate on Portland Place, somebody forced the gate. And I stood up and announced that this is private property, go back. I can't remember in detail anymore. I went inside, I got a rifle, because as soon as I said this is private property, those words enraged the crowd, and absolute horde, came through the now smashed down gates, coming right at the house. I mean, my house, my east patio was 40 feet from Portland Place Drive, and these people were right up in my face, scared to death. And then I stood out there. The only thing we said is, this is private property. Go back, private property, leave now. At that point, everybody got enraged. There were people wearing body armor. One person pulled out some loaded pistol magazines and clicked them together and said, you were next. We're threatened with our lives, threatened with a house being burned down, my office building being burned down, even our dog's life being threatened. It was about as bad as it can get.
Mm.
And there was, you know, I really thought it was storming the Bastille, that we would be dead and the house would be burned and there was nothing we could do about it. It was a huge and frightening crowd, and they broke in the gate and were coming at us.
I 100% believe him. I do. I believe him. And just because he mentioned a few things in there, one thing I guess that doesn't add up, how would they know where his office building is? I mean, that would be a weird thing for them to bring up, not knowing who they are. I'm assuming the group of people protesting through there, the mob that broke onto the private property, probably didn't know exactly who they were dealing with at this point. They just knew someone was, fighting back in a way and not afraid to tell them to leave. I guess they're not used to having people stand up to them. Maybe that's a big part of it. They're just not used to having people tell them, no, this is private property and you need to leave. No, I don't want you to burn my place down. No, I don't want you to come onto my land. They're not used to hearing people say no to them. Unfortunately, it's a no-win situation for police. What are they going to do when a large group of people come and try to take over a freeway? They could block it off and try to get them to stop. What about large groups in other areas, too? Basically, they have to sit there and they're understaffed. They can't control a giant mob like that unless it becomes unruly, and then they have to start using tear gas or whatever other things that are at their disposal, the things that they hope not to hurt anyone. But it's not always peaceful. I think people have to remember this. I truly believe that they were yelling things and probably also threatening them with weapons. This is par for the course when you see these things. It's not unheard of. In fact, it's probably common in most scenarios. So one more clip I'll play for you before we go to the weather. Mark McCloskey, when the picks went online.
Well, I've had to turn the phones off in my office. I had to come over here last night and have the office boarded up because we're getting threats against the building and everybody. It is interesting to me that the very people that are asking the mayor to resign for doxing people have now put all of my information all over the web, everywhere in the world. Is there some hypocrisy there? You know, maybe I'm missing something. But we've had to turn off our telephones here at the office because all my lines have been going continuously since I got here at 10:30 last night. I am getting thousands of emails. I'm gonna have to turn off my website. It's been both threatening and encouraging because there have been a number of people who have voiced their support. But there's also been an awful lot of people who have made very direct threats of violence against me and my family.
Yep. Par for the course still yet again, unfortunately. And you can't just assume that all of these gatherings are peaceful because all of these things happen and it's very common for them to happen. You can't just assume someone breaking on to a private residence or breaking on to a private area are all there to have good intentions. You also can't assume when they're yelling, screaming, and giving you verbal threats and them having weapons in their hands that also that they're peaceful in nature. So he did what I think most reasonable people would do. I think a lot of people would hide, shelter in place, maybe fortify, and just hope that it blows over. Or some are more proactive in saying, we're not putting up with this. And he took the latter. Just a different approach, I guess. Our friend Johnny Rabbit, we haven't talked to him in a long time. In fact, we wanted to get an update from him, so we're going to do that next. If you've been wondering about him, he'll let you know what he's up to on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Joining us now, friend of the show, Johnny Rabbit. It's been so long since we've spoken. How have you been?
Thank you, Ryan. You're right. It has been a heck of a long time. I have been fine, and I know you have been fine as well. Of course, I hear your shows so often, almost every night. And I know you're going to have Jim White special this week. That's going to be exciting.
Isn't that? I was really hoping to get it done before the 4th of July, because from what I understand, just like every other radio station, holiday radio programming is always a question. What are you going to plug where? And I thought, well, this would be good, because if I can get it done this week, not only could I air it on my show, but then I can get a whole new audience to hear it if they replay it on the weekend or something. So I'm hoping for that. And Jim White, what a guy. I've learned a lot about him, an interesting character. By the way, have you ever, what are your encounters with Jim White? Did you get to know him at all?
No, I knew him really basically because we were in the same union, AFTRA, mm-hmm. at that time, now SAG-AFTRA. I'd see him at various events that we had. We used to do a lot more events, mm-hmm. and he would attend, and I would attend some things. But other than that, I had no real relationship with him at all.
Yeah, he was big into ham radio. Did you ever get into that?
Never did. Always was interested in it, but never enough to even find out exactly what the hams actually do. I knew a lot of people that have been in that, though. But it's very beneficial to a lot of people.
So you said the hams. Is that like a nickname for those that are into ham radio, the hams?
Yeah, well, some of them are called hams. They've got other nicknames, I'm sure. But there are a whole lot of people that are in, a lot of radio engineers have been in ham radio.
Oh,
I guess
sure.
They can't get enough of engineering at the radio station or TV station, so they want to do that as well.
Oh, you mean before they, because if you look back into the history of radio stations, when you would have all kinds, a whole staff of engineers. Now, you have probably one that oversees several stations. They're ready to pull their hair out at the end of the day. The last thing they're thinking about is, oh, for fun, I'm going to go home and engineer something.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. It's totally different than that. It's hard to believe. I tell people, how many people are at the station? How many engineers do you have? Or how is this? Well, you know, sometimes there's one person hanging around late at night for five stations, and that's not just Intercom, it's all over the country. That's the way it is. And more AI and all of this stuff. And gosh, you know, it's not new from, like they said, today, like that sort of network programming taking over. Our people are doing shows in various cities, but networks were around. That's how, KMOX started with a network, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yeah.
So, That part of it isn't new, but the amount of people, we used to have musicians playing the turntables.
Oh, yeah. Platterman
was their nickname, the Platterman. And they had to be a member of the Musicians Union.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't just be anybody. Couldn't be an IBEW engineer or, at those days, an either an AFRA, American Federation of Radio Artists, or AFTRA announcer. And we, too, are in that same union, which I'm really glad to see that it's still going on and thriving after a lot of years. The very first AFRA meeting, national meeting, was held here in St. Louis in 1937.
Wow.
It was at the main dining room of the Park Plaza Hotel.
How about that? That's interesting.
A lot of people that became well-known. Les Tremaine became a pretty well-known character actor. There are so many different people who came from St. Louis radio and moved on to other markets, which is not unusual. Yeah. I mean, people do move from market to market, and yet, who knows? Ryan Recker, 50 years from now, you may still be here in St. Louis. If there is still radio, who knows if there will be or not?
Well, that's the problem in modern radio, is that the odds of that happening diminish every year. It seems like it's very difficult to find any personalities that have longevity in a market, which is kind of a shame, and a lot of times it's not their choice, so they really don't have any other opportunity. Just the shrinking of the industry in general means the opportunities are somewhere else. But one other thing you mentioned there about house bands, of course we know about Les Paul and what great history that is. I heard once that KMOX tried an all live band format on the radio station. This is well before that, your service. Do you remember hearing anything about that?
I'm not familiar with that at all. Had not heard that, no.
It might not have lasted long.
It might not have been. It could have been, but I never did hear that. But there was, studio musicians, studio orchestra. Every radio station, and, you know, those days there weren't that many radio stations, in those days being 20s and 30s. I mean, there were just a few. This is 6, 7, 8 stations. But they all had some type of live orchestra or band. Sometimes, a large orchestra. Or sometimes an individual organist or pianist or a violinist or so on. And a lot of this stuff is archived at the Lovejoy Library at SIU Edwardsville, including the sheet music from the KMOX Studio Orchestra.
Wow, cool.
It's a place to visit. And they have a terrific collection of very big in blues and jazz music at the Lovejoy. And that's SIU Edwardsville at this time of the year, not that many years ago, or maybe it has been. We'd have been going over there on nights like tonight to the Mississippi River Festival. What a place. And Lovejoy, now a lot of people might say, who the heck was Lovejoy? Everybody now is getting into, who was this person? Or Lovejoy was one of the great publishers in St. Louis history. He came here in the late 1820s. And he became an editor and part owner of a paper called the St. Louis Times. And he spoke for emancipation, and he was very much against slavery. He was very well known. A lot of people liked him. A lot of people hated him. And those that hated won out for his life, because he became a martyr for freedom, so to speak. And he was murdered, and found in his office in the printing press, thrown in the Mississippi River. He had moved this. Just from the problems in St. Louis, he had moved to Alton, where he felt he was safer. And I hope this monument is not going to be toppled, but there is at the Alton City Cemetery a monument to honor Lovejoy. So his name lives on in a lot of things. And you mentioned something before we went on the air. I get the same thing. A lot of people ask, what the heck? Where are you? Are you sick?
Oh,
are you,
yeah.
You got COVID or something? No, I'm fine. Have not had it. But by doctor's orders and station orders, I'm on a hiatus until such a time as they say, okay, it's okay to come back and go into the studio because, you know, my age and all that and some small underlying health issues don't make it really very good for being out if I don't have to. Actually, since my last show was Route 66, last time I was on was March 14th.
Wow.
And basically, I haven't been anywhere. I haven't gone into any restaurant. We had curbside pickup tonight, for example, from Bartolino's Osteria, which was delicious. Had it in the dining room. And I don't go into any businesses or anybody else's home. I've just, just wanted to let this thing go by. And then our fine program director, Steve Moore, says, when you're ready, we'll have you back.
Yeah.
Get back to. And I wish I could come back because I think playing the oldies and the music of the 50s and 60s would be so good to hear with all of the things that are going on.
Oh, absolutely, it would. I think everyone just waits for those opportunities to get their mind off of everything else that's going on, and that's a great opportunity. And yes, we have to be very careful, as I found out. Even if you work at our building, you still have to get permission to go in. I mean, they're being very precautious about handling this, and they're being very, they want to make sure everyone's safe. There's certain people that have to go into the radio station and some people that are able to work from home, and they don't want them mixing all the time. So if you want to go in, they give you the business. They say, all right, this is what you got to do here, here, and here. Don't touch anything. Don't talk to people. But you got to get permission before you go in. So they're being very, very careful. And I understand that.
Well, I think that's a wise thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's, for example, other people have asked about our programs at the History Museum. Obviously, they are not going on right now till this is all over with in-person ones. But I'm still doing programs for OASIS, which is a wonderful not-for-profit. It's for older adults in St. Louis. And I've got one coming up this Thursday. Hmm. 10 to 11 in the morning, or a little after, probably end up being like 11:10, 11:15, about an hour and 10, 15 minutes. It's called The Right Stuff, which is what kind of we've been talking about. It's all about the written word in St. Louis history. And I'll also have tips for people on writing, how to write. If somebody wants to start writing, how do you do it? Where do you start? Where do you begin? Where do you get your research? How can you make sure as much as possible that what you're writing about is truth, is accurate? And then how to get it into print. That's all of these things are not as easy to do, but they all have to be done. So this class will not be done in person. It'll be by Zoom. I've learned to do that. I've had one Zoom class that I conducted. Worked out okay.
Good.
They can do it on cell phone, too. There is a fee for this, but since you are a listener to Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and KMOX, you don't have to pay the $22 normal fee. It is $10 for this
nice
big program. Just tell them, hey, Ryan Recker, Overnight America, KMOX, and nah, you don't pay the $22. It's $10, and we do have, I think, about four or five, maybe six spaces available.
Yeah.
And I'll have my commentary, and you'll see dozens of rare photographs.
Oh, that's cool.
Then it's all about writing, and it's all about the people that we know from Tennessee Williams and columnists, poets, Eugene Field, Maya Angelou, Kate Chopin. It is an amazing wealth that we have of a history of writers and writing from St. Louis, and I'll try to cover all of that.
Yeah, before all of this started, I thought a Zoom class was similar to Pilates or something like that. But actually, it's when you can do these things virtually through a computer, we find that people have taken up on their own. They've taken certain hobbies or they've taken it on themselves to pick up certain projects. And how many times have you heard people say they want to write that great American novel? So they're going to go to that cabin in the middle of the woods where there's no reception and they're just going to bring their laptop and write these sort of things. And, the thing is, some people think you have to wait and all of a sudden your brain will just take over like there's some sort of zombie and then you wake up, you come to, and there's an entire book written. No, it takes planning, it takes a lot of thought, and if you've never thought about doing that, that's why classes like this is perfect because you can go through and you can learn the mechanisms, you can learn storytelling, and part of it is that, like me or anything else, once you have that certain inspiration and you see how other people do it, it gives you ideas. It gives you something to build off of. It's very powerful that way, that first step.
Yep, you got to make the first step. That's it. And another writer that I work with a lot is Suzanne Corbett. She did a really good article in this Sunday Post-Dispatch in the STL Life travel section about Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, from Hannibal to Hartford. Worth reading if you like Mark Twain stories. It's all about his life. And then she and I are working on a book about soda fountains, mostly in drugstores and soda shops, ice cream shops, the ice cream companies, seltzer and soda companies in St. Louis. There were dozens of different sodas. So that should be due, I hope, very early fall when that book will come out.
Awesome.
And I did the introduction to our book, Unique Eats and Eateries of St. Louis. So if people like to go out, that is another book to pick up. So the next, you know, I didn't even mention this. You're getting print, you got to publicize it, just like I've done right now. You've got to let people know these things exist, because there are not too many bookstores where you can go in anymore. They're just not there.
Yeah, well, tell me one more time about Oasis and the Right Stuff, if people wanted to look that up in the class that you're doing there.
Okay, that's pretty easy to do. STLOasis.org is the website, but you can call this number. You can call it now or call it anytime. Leave a message. And it's area code 314, and the number is 862-4859. Number again is 862-4859, and then you put in extension 24. Extension 24, nobody will answer, just a recording, because like the station, everybody's working from home, so they'll call you back, or you can go to stloasis.org and look for classes, and it's going to be the Right Stuff, and it's going to be starting at 10, runs till a little after 11 this Thursday morning. Don't wait till nighttime, Thursday morning, and we'll get questions from the attendees, and I think it's these things really are a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, it's beneficial, and it's one of those things that you can transfer to other parts of your life once you learn how to do things like this, and gives you the ideas right to do it. Johnny Rabbit, I'm saying it's so good to talk to you. It's so good to catch up and see the things you're doing. We know that you're keeping busy. We can't wait till we can meet in person again and get those things going at the History Museum. So much I'm sure you have built up ready to go. I'm excited to see what you've been working on. So again, thanks for coming on tonight.
All right, thank you very much.
And he joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
We're so good to hear Johnny Rabbit's voice. Text message. Sure do miss Johnny Rabbit on Saturday nights. I know a lot of people do. They can't wait till he can get back in and start the shows over again. And I know that he is ready and willing and able in just waiting for the opportunity for the clear, all things clear to go. I'm glad we got him on. We'll have to get him on again sometime soon in the future. Another text message. I let my 7-year-old stay up with me tonight. She's been doing dumbbells and jump squats for the last half hour. I'm exhausted. That came in 5 minutes ago. So it's almost 1 a.m. and your 7-year-old is up doing squats in the living room with dumbbells and things? Wait a minute. That doesn't seem like it's a good idea. This might be a memory your daughter will have for the rest of her life. It's a weird thing, the brain, that they'll somehow pack away moments like this. And then, I don't know, about 40 years later, she'll say, remember that one time you let me stay up past midnight and we exercised and listened to the radio and we listened to that one crazy guy? I can't remember his name, but he used to say, and I don't even know, but man, I remember those days. That's the type of thing that most people remember. It's weird. I remember a few things from my childhood. I remember listening to some old radio shows in Detroit, some talk show hosts. The sad thing is, when you're younger, you miss out on the opportunity to meet those people sometime in your future, because the people I remember, my dad used to listen to a talk show host by the name of Mark Scott in Detroit, and he was very popular in the 1990s, and then he ended up passing away, I think, in 2005. I just recently looked him up online because I thought, I wonder whatever happened to that guy. Passed away 2005. And the same thing, too, when I'm putting together this special for Jim White, I get to hear all of these stories, and I hear people that have all these memories, But I don't have any memories of him. I didn't grow up listening to him. I wasn't in St. Louis. He wasn't part of the scene where I came from. And it's not that I'm jealous. I just look back at it and say, I really wish I had the opportunity to meet him at some point. He's one of those people I wish I could have talked about radio with and just got his insight. If you missed it from earlier, I'm planning on playing the Jim White radio special on Wednesday night. And it's the big debut Wednesday night. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll talk more about it tomorrow on the show, too. Got another hour of Overnight America coming up. And in the next hour, we'll be bringing on our friend Rich Rubino. He's got the book American Politics on the Rocks. We do our regular Monday hookups with him. And if you missed it from earlier in the show, Brad Young talking about the Supreme Court ruling and also what happened in the Central West End, if there's any legal ramifications or maybe just his analysis or what his impressions are of that. All in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.